the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Can I have my own welcome to theirs? For those who don't know who I am, my name's Clive Hughes. I'm on the staff here at Belmont and part of the leadership team. It's good to see you. If you're visiting us for the first time or looking around at churches maybe this time of year, people are moving in and out of the city, then do make yourself known to anyone you've seen on the door up at the front. And if you want to know a bit more, fill in a yellow card, which you'll find in the front of the Bibles in the seats in front of you. Just put your name and address on there, and somebody will be in touch with you very, very soon. And hopefully you've picked up the orange term card so you can see what's going on over the next few weeks. Well, I don't know about you, but my ordinary day does not look like anything like that guy in the video's ordinary day. In fact, my day looks nothing like that. My day looks much more like this: waking up in the morning, struggling to get sorted, not quite sure what's going to happen every day. Things happen throughout each day that are fairly mundane. Life just carries on day after day, doesn't it? And this is a series we want to think about over the next few weeks, about how our Christian faith, how the message of Christ will affect our everyday, ordinary lives. Following Jesus isn't just about being here on a Sunday and saying, "I go to Belmont Chapel." Following Jesus is about something to do with every single moment of our lives, every single aspect of our lives, affecting the way we feel, the way we love, the way we relax, the way we serve others, the way we relate to each other. And so we're going to be thinking by taking single verses from the Bible about key thoughts, key themes that will affect, hopefully, our everyday, ordinary lives with Jesus. We're going to look today at Romans chapter 5, and if you would turn with me, please, to page 1068 in these green Bibles that are on the chairs in front of you, if you want to pick them up, if you haven't already, to do the visitor's card. And we're going to read from Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through to 11. So page 1068, Romans chapter 5. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." We're right in the middle of a huge essay sort of thing, really, with Romans, Paul writing it, but we're going to dip in here. And we're going to focus on only the first verse. I wanted to read the whole passage because I'm going to pick out a few themes from the passage. but the first verse is our focus this morning. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of today's talk is Today I Have Peace. Around the world, in areas where there's often been conflict or involvement in conflict, there are monuments and memorials to peace. Here's one that's outside the UN in New York, the Knotted Gun. These are often placed to remind people of what happened in the past and to create aspirations and to encourage people to think about being different in the future. The Knotted Gun speaks for itself, doesn't it? Stopping fighting. Here's another one. Reconciliation, this is called. This is actually one of five of the same that are around the world that marks the 50th anniversary of the ending of the Second World War. This one's in Coventry Cathedral. There's one in Hiroshima, one in Berlin. They're around the world marking that end of that huge world conflict. Here's another one in Washington. Swords into plowshares. A reminder of the words of Isaiah of beating the swords into plowshares, of peace rather than fighting. And here's one in Northern Ireland, Hands Across the Divide, it's called, in Derry in Northern Ireland. And it relates to the obvious conflict there was between two religious communities, reaching out to each other, seeking to bring peace where there was previously conflict. And from the 90s, well, this actually was opened in 2004, but this is the bridge at Mostar, a symbol of peace across the river, two sides of a divided city coming together again after the conflict in the 1990s. The bridge was rebuilt and a symbol of peace and reconciliation as they brought the sides together and they built communities again. John Stott, in his commentary on the book of Romans, says this: the pursuit of peace is a universal human obsession. They're quite powerful words, aren't they? A universal human obsession, he says. Whether that's at an international level, as we've seen in some of those pictures there, or maybe we see in the news at the moment with the Middle East talks, whether it's at an industrial level between management and workforce, or even just office politics going on in your own office, whether it's at a family level between generations, parents and children, husbands and wives, or maybe just in our own personal lives, our desire for peace in the midst of turmoil and difficulty. We all recognise that we want to have peaceful lives, don't we? Here's one more symbol, which is a symbol of peace around the world, seen as a reminder of the possibility of a peace that is everlasting. The cross of Jesus Christ. Often worn as jewellery, displayed as art, featuring in architecture, the cross is a symbol of individual suffering, made famous by the Roman Empire, I guess. But actually, the events of the first Easter, the events of the cross, are the most dramatic, important act of reconciliation and peace that the world has ever known. And that's where we start our ordinary days. That's where we start our ordinary day with Jesus. We start at the symbol of peace, the cross of Christ. And that's where we pick up in the letter to the Romans. Paul has been writing for the first four chapters about the problem that people face, about how difficult it is to have peace without God, how we have alienated ourselves from God, how we have put a barrier between us and God. And we reach this point, and Paul has said, there is only one way by which we can know God, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he finishes chapter 4 by saying this, verse 25, just at the head of where we read, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. That great act a sacrifice on the cross led to justification. And we'll look at what that word means in a few minutes. And so Paul picks up the argument, and that's our verse today. Since we have been justified, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at three things, three questions. What is this peace? How can it be obtained? And what difference does it make on a Monday morning, a Tuesday afternoon, a Wednesday evening, or whenever it is, in our regular, everyday weeks of living lives with Jesus? So firstly, today I have peace with God. What is this peace? Well, this peace is about being friends with God. This peace is about friendship with God. It's a peace with somebody. It's not just inner calm, serenity, sort of Zen-like meditation. It's a peace with somebody. It's a friendship. It's a joining together. This is what Paul says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. It doesn't just say we have peace. We have peace with God. We have a new status. Just think about that for a moment. We have a new status. Not something that can be disturbed and knocked around. We have a new position. A new situation. We have peace with God. Yes, inner peace will follow from that new status. But the fight with God is over. The enmity, the hostility, all that was there has been removed. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is able to bring peace with God. Now you might say, well, I didn't know I was an enemy of God. Well, the Bible says that anyone who goes against God's ways, anyone who chooses to go their own way and set their own direction, has become, and look at it in verse 10, this is strong words, in verse 10, while we were God's enemies. While we were God's enemies, not just out of favor or having a bit of an argument. Human beings have pitched themselves against the creator of the universe. That is the state that we find ourselves in. And what Paul says here in verse 1 is, because of Jesus Christ, because we have been justified, we are no longer in that state. We can become friends of God. The divide is healed. The bridge has been built. We are reconciled. The peace we know day by day by day is a peace of a friendship with God. We understand and know that we are with somebody who made us, who loves us, and wants to know us inside out, day after day. So if that's the situation we are in, that is available to us through Jesus Christ, how do we obtain that peace? How do we experience that peace? Well, it's God's free gift. There's nothing you or I can do to attain that gift. Nothing that we can make in our own lives, nothing we can offer that will offer to God, something that will give us peace. It's a one-way deal. Look at it in verse 1. It says this. The clues are there. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything to do with us. So what does this word justified mean? Well, it's a bit of a technical Bible word, but it simply put means that the offense, the misalignment, the errors, the things that were wrong, have been dealt with. If you think about justifying text, often used as an illustration, justification. Text is all over the place and you justify it on your word processor, get a nice straight line, everything's back in place. Everything that was a problem, everything that was out of line, has been dealt with. That's what Jesus has done. He has put things back in line. Paul says, we have been justified. Our circumstances are changed. We have become God's friends through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only way, Paul says. It is the only way. Verse 10 again, picking up from the enemy's statement, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Peace with God is only attainable through a knowledge and a friendship with Jesus Christ. That is fantastic news. Fantastic news. That it is possible to know our Creator again. And that's not just philosophical concepts. The wonderful news about Christianity is that actually Jesus was a living, real person. Jesus lived in history 2,000 years ago. It isn't just a set of ideas that are written down for us to consider. A real person came and lived and died and said, "I am the way to the Father. I am the truth, the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me," Jesus said. The bridge over the river, the bridge over the divide, has been built and reconstructed. And Jesus is the name of that bridge. Jesus is the one who brings friendship. And nothing we do will bridge that gap. To be a Christian is somebody who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here today and thinking, "Well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm interested, I've come to church today and I'm curious," and that's quite interesting what you're talking about. I have felt that sense of disconnect with God, and I don't really understand what that means. Then I would love to talk to you more about what it means to be a friend of God and how that can happen. If you want to come and talk to me after the service, I've got a little booklet I can offer you, which explains some more things, and we can just talk together. Come and ask me about how can I be at peace with God. How can I be at peace with God? Because that is the start of our ordinary days. That is the beginning of every day lived with Jesus. Without that, we can draw ourselves up if we want to for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But actually, we will not know peace with God. I'd be delighted to talk to you. And I'm sure anyone else who you've seen at the front on leadership team, if you think, "Oh, I'm not going to talk to him. He's been preaching to us." And find Sarah or John who's on the door over there and go and talk to them. But there's plenty of people who would love to share with you about how to become a friend of God. So we thought about how we have peace with God, how it is a friendship and not just an inner state of calm, and actually it's obtained through grace. But does it change anything? Does it change anything? These big ideas, do they change our ordinary days? Well, I'd like to suggest that they do. They do. And in verse 2 of this passage, I think there's a clue as to how that happens. The sentence continues, so let's read the whole of the sentence. "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." That's the whole sentence. That's the whole sentence. So the whole idea is there. We have gained access through Jesus Christ. We live each moment in the company of God. Each single moment of every ordinary day, God is with me. God is with you. God is there alongside you. Whether it's working in an office, whether it's serving in a family, whether it's teaching people, whether it's transporting goods, whether it's building things, whether it's selling things, whether it's gardening, whether it's just playing some sports, God is there with you. Whatever we do with him by our side, it says. We have gained access to be with God by grace. We are under new management. A new manager has come in. A new boss has taken over. And that changes everything. I don't know whether you've been in a team or a business or a department or a school where the management has changed. I have. And very often as things are changing, you think, "What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What will they be like when they come and take over?" Well, one thing I know is, whatever they're like, it's different. It's always changed. It's always changed. People have different ways of doing things. And that's what's happening here. God has built a new relationship with us, and things are different. Life is different. We live each moment in the knowledge that he is with us. He has not abandoned us. He has rescued us. Now, that might be difficult to turn into practice, to think, "Well, how do I do that when I'm in the middle of a negotiation, when I'm handling a line management problem, when I'm serving a customer a cup of tea and they're being a bit stroppy with me, when I've got kids coming home from school and I just don't know what to do? How do I do that?" Can I offer you a thought of remembering a verse of Scripture and calling it to mind each day in those circumstances as a practical way of reminding ourselves we have peace with God and God is with us? You will have had on your way in this little yellow card, which I hope you haven't dropped. Maybe it's put in your pocket somewhere already. And it has on it today's verse. And throughout this series, we're going to be handing out the verse of the day. And would you take that away and learn it? Store it in your head as well as store it in your wallet or your purse or your Filofax or wherever it may be. Store it in your head and recall it to mind. Today I have peace with God. Whatever comes my way, whatever might unsettle me, I have peace with the Creator. And that gives me confidence and security in every circumstance. I know that whatever comes my way, my God is bigger than that. Take that verse and learn it. I was visiting an elderly gentleman recently who was struggling to read. And he says, I've got a calendar that I can read, which has got very heavy, bold type on it. It has a verse of the day on it. And he learns that and chews on it for the rest of the day. One bite lasts him a whole day. And he just chews and chews and chews. Take a verse this week. Over the next 8 weeks, you'll be getting a little verse. Chew on it and meditate on it and think in each circumstance, how will that change my ordinary day? The God who has brought me peace, who has reconciled me, is with me here and now in whatever circumstance I find myself. And so we know intimacy and confidence with God. And peace, therefore, as I said, is about relationship. Reconciliation brings deeper, more intimate, more trusting relationships. We know that in our everyday experience. We know that on a global scale, don't we? When the negotiations are going on between countries, like the Middle East situation of Israel and Palestine, we know that reconciliation will not happen by people staying in their separate corners. It will only happen when people deepen relationships with each other. And so secondly, how it makes a difference in our everyday, ordinary lives. We become peacemakers. We become peacemakers to others. If we have been made peace with, which we have if we're Christians, we become peacemakers to others. Paul writes elsewhere in the New Testament to the Corinthians a very similar theme. He writes this, if anyone is in Christ, if they're a Christian, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See that? He reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are speaking as though God is making his appeal through us. We have peace with God. God therefore sends us to be peacemakers, like ambassadors speaking out the word of peace to others, offering the good news that people can become friends with God again. Reminders of the fact that peace is possible with God. But not only that, remember Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember that? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Not only do we proclaim the truth about the possibility of a relationship with God, we should be, we are called to be, in our everyday lives, peacemakers, people who bring reconciliation into every circumstance. Maybe you're in an office and working and there's some backbiting going on. Could you, as a peacemaker, bring peace into that situation? Could you talk to the parties involved? Could you speak well of the person who's being criticised? Maybe you're working, volunteering with street pastors here in Exeter, being a peacemaker between people who've had a little bit too much to drink on a Friday night. Can you offer your life there to be a peacemaker? Maybe it's just being with a couple who are struggling in their marriage. Maybe it's our own marriages, our own families, where there is conflict and fight, and we need to take the first move to say, I'm sorry. How could I be a peacemaker in those situations? If I have peace with God, if I have peace with God, then I am a peacemaker for others and with others. In the office where I used to work prior to being here at Belmont, I worked with a guy on a project. We were in different teams, and it got fairly heated. He wrote an email about something he thought I'd done and started corresponding and copying in my boss and my boss's boss and everything else. And my immediate reaction, I have to say to my shame, was to start to defend myself, to type a response saying, no, no, you're wrong there. No, no, this is what happened. I want to copy in my boss and so on. And after the first email, it just came back with sort of times 10. And I thought, yeah, that wasn't a good idea. That really wasn't a good idea. So I went round to see him in the office, and we had a chat face to face, and we dealt with things. And it took a while for things to settle down, because he was really cross with the way our department and the way I dealt with something. And I had to search my heart. Had I done something wrong that was really wrong, or is it just that we had different agendas? I don't know. I apologised. I made my peace with him. But my natural reaction was to sort of defend myself and take my corner rather than be a peacemaker. There are simple things like that, aren't they? How do we respond to that aggressive email? How do we respond to the assertive character in the office or at the school gate or in the school? How do we respond when we see people being bullied in school environments, on the school bus? Are we going to be peacemakers in all those sort of ways? What will be your story next week? What will be your story as we gather again, maybe in home groups on Wednesday, or as we gather at church on Sunday? What will be your story of peacemaking as a result of the fact that the creator of the universe has made peace with you? Two questions as we finish. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? And secondly, how will you be a peacemaker? In our ordinary days, like those monuments and memorials are markers in one location to the peace that we hope for in our land, are we going to be like Jesus Christ, be a monument, a living memorial, wherever we are, of the greatest offer of peace possible today? To those around us, in the way we treat them, in the way we behave, in the way we respond to moments of pressure, to moments of difficulty. Because inside, we know we have peace with the Creator. We're going to pray, and would you let me pray for you and your week this week? In whatever circumstances you're facing, I'm going to pray about some of the things in the news. And then after this prayer, Sarah and the band are going to come and lead us in our final song. So let's pray together. Our Father God, Creator God, thank you that you have taken every single step. You have done everything possible, as far as it depends on you, to make peace with us. And we thank you and we worship you and we praise you that we can know peace with God. And we go out this week into our everyday ordinary weeks, knowing that they are transformed in all sorts of extraordinary ways because you are with us. Lord, we pray that we would know your presence in a new and vibrant way this week, wherever we find ourselves. May we have that confidence that comes from knowing you. And Lord, we bring to you situations where we know there isn't peace in the world. Big, big world issues like the Middle East, like Pakistan, like Afghanistan. Places where there are conflicts. We pray for Christians to be involved in those circumstances. To be people who are peacemakers. Would you have your influence there, Lord? And Lord, we pray for ourselves in our working patterns. For those who are in employment, we pray, Lord, that if our job actually involves peacemaking, help us to do it with your heart, with your passion, and with your love. And Father, where our job may not be directly peacemaking, help us to be peacemakers in the way we do it. And Lord, if we're not in employment, but we're doing other things, in our communities, serving, volunteering, being friends, in our homes, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would go with us, equip us, prompt us at those moments of temptation and choice to take the choice which is the choice of peace, and to know that deep within our hearts we have peace with God. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who justified us, the one who through faith we follow day by day. Amen.